Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. We all know these are dark and uncertain times, and especially times like that, we need to fight evil with the best weapons at our disposal, and the Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary is certainly one of the absolute best. It's done wonders in my own life, and as I've mentioned many times before, I've seen so many conversions through praying the Rosary faithfully for people. So the Great Rosary Campaign, as all of you probably know by now, it's a year-long mission for the conversion of cultural leaders. So we will announce, and we have been announcing, a weekly call to pray every Sunday, and that call to pray will be for specific fallen away Catholics or non-Catholics. And you can sign up to receive updates in your inbox at greatrosarycampaign.com. And I must say, like I've said many times before, thank you, and I'm very humbled by the enthusiasm many of you have shown for this. I think there are a few better things that we can do than pray the rosary, not only for our own souls, but for the souls of others. So thank you so much. It seems like it's been blessing a lot of you. It's certainly been blessing me. And I think we'll be keeping this up. And I just wanted to thank all of you for your enthusiasm. So this week's rosary target is going to be, I think it may be our first, like, you know, more openly Protestant person. And it's going to be Francis Chan. And I'll explain who he is in a second. But Francis Chan. And then the suggested penance I'd like to put out there is adoration, so a holy hour before the Blessed Eucharist. And then every day asking St. Francis de Sales, who was a great saint from the Protestant Reformation period, who brought tens of thousands of Protestants back to the Catholic Church through his great work, The Catholic Controversy. Just, frankly, probably the best apologetic against Protestantism and for the Catholic faith that's ever been written. I think there's been many wonderful books, and certainly, you know, St. Francis's book may not be the best with regard to every subject, but overall, it's probably the single best one-volume apologetic for the Catholic faith to Protestants of a variety of persuasions that's ever been written. And it happens to be the first name of our prayer target this week as well. So Francis Chan, for those of you who may not know, he's a very prominent Protestant leader. I knew about him for the vast majority of my life. He was a megachurch leader for many years, and then I believe at some point he actually left that because he realized that the gospel was far more demanding than a sort of comfortable, suburban American Christianity appreciated. And so I really appreciated that about him, for many, many years. But then I remember I was in Norcia, Italy. This was late 2019, early 2020. I was visiting a monastery. Norcia is where St. Benedict was born, who basically founded the Western tradition of monasticism in the 500s. Great man. And, you know, St. Benedict's monasteries kept, you know, they copied scripture. They tilled the land. They made land productive. They were great oases of peace and scholarship and prayer in the midst of a Europe that was reeling from the collapse of the Western Roman Empire with the barbarian invasions and whatnot. So St. Benedict is an extraordinarily important saint in the history of the church. So I was out there visiting the Benedictine monastery in St. Benedict's birthplace, and I saw this video of Francis Chan. And it was obvious in this video that he was coming to an extraordinary realization that his Christian ancestor believed something about the Eucharist that was very different from what he had ever believed.
Taking of the body and blood of Christ somehow in some real way. Again, I'm not making any like grand statements. I'm just saying some of the stuff I didn't know. I didn't know that for the first 1500 years of church history, everyone saw it as the literal body and blood of Christ. And it wasn't until 500 years ago that someone popularized a thought that it's just a symbol and nothing more. I didn't know that. I thought, wow, well, that's something to consider. And while I won't make a strong statement, I will make a statement about this. It was at that same time that for the first time, someone put a pulpit in the front of the gathering. Because before that, it was always the body and blood of Christ that was central to their gatherings. For 1500 years, it was never one guy and his pulpit being the center of the church. It was the body and blood of Christ. And even the leaders just saw themselves as partakers. And oh man, we're not worthy, we're not worthy, we're not worthy.
So I saw that video and I was extraordinarily encouraged because if somebody like Francis Chan came into full Catholic communion, it would be extraordinary. And it would, I think, play a big role in many, many more Protestants converting as well. So that's why I'm particularly passionate about praying the rosary for Francis Chan. And then again, going to adoration before the Eucharist, who he's realizing that our Lord is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then offering or asking St. Francis de Sales to pray for him. Please do that every day of this week's Great Rosary campaign. So with that, just a reminder that we pray the rosary for three basic reasons. To keep the faith, we don't fall into heresy or error or apostasy. It's far less likely if you pray the rosary consistently. For repentance and moral renovation, both our own and for others. And finally, for conversions, whether for non-Catholics or for fallen away Catholics who need to come back to the faith. And remember, we have six key biblical themes. First, we pray for our enemies. We pray for our brethren. Second, we pray for our enemies. Third, we pray for our leaders and those in authority. Fourth, we go into battle with the Ark, in this case, the new Ark of the Covenant, as the Israelites went around Jericho with the old Ark, and on the seventh day, the walls came crashing down. Whatever walls may still be around Francis Chan's heart that are preventing him from coming to the Catholic Church, We are praying with the new Ark of the Covenant, Our Lady, that those walls come crashing down on the seventh day of this week's campaign, which is Saturday, the day devoted to Our Lady, and that Francis Chan will come into full Catholic communion. Fifth, evangelism and apologetics equals four things: love, arguments, prayer, and penance. Most people go right to the arguments, they skip the love, and they leave out the prayer and the penance. We at Eternal Christendom, we want to not just talk about it, but help all of you and our wonderful audience help do all of these things, which is why we're doing this Great Rosary campaign. So love, arguments, prayer, and penance. That's how you put evangelism and apologetics into overdrive. And then sixth and finally, return good for evil. As I've said in all these videos, we know that as Catholics, if we're publicly praying the rosary, especially for Protestants or those who are Protestant adjacent, I don't know if Francis Chan would describe himself as a Protestant. I suspect he wouldn't, but he's certainly Protestant adjacent in a Catholic perspective. And so, but we're going to get accused of the normal stuff, idolatry, Mary worship, etc. As a former Protestant, I get it. Most of these people don't know better. So if that happens, respond in kindness. And your kindness, your offering of prayer, your offering of your rosary perhaps for them, maybe one day it will lead to their own conversion. So just don't respond to saucy, fiery, supercilious comments from Protestants at us. And don't do that in return to them. Show them a different way and ask Our Lady to help you. So with that, we will end with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you? And on earth, I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.